B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
6.5 to go. Inbound comes to Joel Embiid. Embiid will launch a three and make it. Making it a four-point game. The inbound to Marcus Smart. The clock hits triple zeros. The Boston Celtics, for the second consecutive year, are the first team to advance to round two of the playoffs. Kemba Walker's seven-year wait is over. But in writing the latest chapter of this rivalry story, did the Celtics just end the Sixers' process story? It's a four-game sweep. The final score, Boston 110, Philadelphia 106.
The process. Ah, oh, please. One of the biggest frauds propagated on the basketball world in years. There's two basketball frauds propagated on the basketball world that have been thoroughly dismantled this week. One is the process, and the second is Al Horford. I started to talk about this last week, but now in the final analysis, I can put the fraud mark on both of them. I'll get to that in a second, Maz. What's your take on the Boston Celtics?
I mean, I have a hard time giving them credit for beating that crap bag outfit. I'm serious.
How about for sweeping them? And you know, how about for that?
Yeah. I mean, again, was Philly the better team in any of the four games? Is Philly a better talent? Does Philly have a better coach?
You've been pumping up Philly for years, man.
Okay, no, with a healthy Simmons, I told you that Philly is a legit threat, and at the beginning of the year, I thought Philly was. But without Simmons, forget it. They had no shot. Zero. And there is
a guy that can't shoot.
Yeah, and that, well, but he controls the game for them, Mike. Yeah. He's an excellent defensive player, and then on top of it, he handles the ball. The whole offense runs through Simmons. Without Simmons, they're gone. Forget it.
They just moved into power forward, didn't they?
But the offense still goes through his hands.
Okay.
I mean, he's an exceptional passer. And I'm not telling you that Simmons can shoot. I'm just telling you that, forget it. It's like, you know, if Embiid is what you got, the Philly's got no shot. That's it. I like Embiid a lot. And I've come around on some of his deficiencies. But that series was a mismatch. Complete mismatch. And the Celtics lost Hayward and they still swept them.
Of course they did. So that's another thing that I felt. That the net loss of Hayward, you're not going to feel as much as you think. You're just not. They don't need him. And do you need Kemba Walker to pick up the scoring? I said, yep, he can handle it, and I want to see it because I think that's a bad little dude. And if he needs to score more, he'll score more. And so just in that little snapshot, I feel, vindicated my takes, you know, which, again, is the most important thing.
Oh, I know. I'm waiting to hear from the Kemba Walker fan club today. I'm sure that's out there waiting for
him. He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. And if he's asked to score more, he can score more.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good. I would agree.
Okay. Please. I would want to go back to this. I don't know what else it says about the Celtics. I think they are a championship contender. I felt that even before all of this. I think taking out all the home court, road court, and the travel really makes them a serious threat. I think if they go any more than six games against Toronto, it will be an underachievement. Yeah, you should take out Toronto. You are better than Toronto. You have more good players than Toronto. You have the best player in the Toronto series, and now one of their best players is banged up in Lowry. Now, I happen to think Lowry is going to play just because just watching the little clip we showed here on NBC Sports Boston, it wasn't like he went to the deck and then had to be helped off the floor or anything. He's sort of a load to begin with. Like, he's not exactly a lightning quick kind of player anyway. You know what I mean? And I think that, I don't know, I think Lowry's going to be out there. But be that as it may, Lowry, no Lowry, you should beat that team. You have more good players, and you have the best player in that series. So if it goes seven against Toronto, I might, you know, pick them to nip you there, because then their experience and their savvy and that sort of stuff comes into play. But if it's just talent for talent, which is what it most is in that league, then you should take care of Toronto. And if, presuming Milwaukee makes it that far, you should give Milwaukee a real goal, maybe even beat them.
I mean, As you watch it here throughout the league, and I recognize that the NBA first round is typically a landslide, but look at what's going on with the Clippers. Milwaukee's, they're up now, but they're grinded today. That's a one-point game, or at least it was 5 minutes ago when Matt McCarthy gave us the headlines. So, like, I just think that all of a sudden, this whole eliminating the home court thing and putting them all in the bubble.
Factor.
Oh, is it ever? Like, it really is more and more. And I thought it would be a little less than it's turned out to be. So it is. It's a huge factor. And this gets back to the thing that you've talked about a lot, which is that whole buy-in thing and which teams are down there to win and which teams are going to coast and, you know, what's it, how they're all going to cope and deal with it and all of it. And I, the door is ajar. It is. It's ajar. Maybe not huge. I don't think he can drive a truck through there. But I think that there is an opening there, and I just have a hard time giving the Celtics credit yet when they played that freaking clown show. Because Philly's a joke. That organization's a mess. The coach is going to get fired. It's garbage. It is complete garbage.
Garbage team. Garbage. That is a garbage basketball team. I don't mind saying it. I felt that for years. I felt that when you beat them in the playoffs 2 years ago. So these guys are trash. Mm-hmm. And this whole process, what a fraud, what a hype. And it is, what a cautionary tale it is against tanking. What a cautionary tale. Like, people treated the Sixers like this genius plan. You know, they even gave it that stupid-ass name. You know, like some sort of, you know, outside-the-box, genius thinking, planning. All they did was suck and draft high for a couple of years and blow half their draft picks. You know, and the players they picked... Yeah, they drafted 1.5 players, which is what I keep saying. Embiid and Simmons. Simmons is a half player. Maybe I should flip that because Embiid has no heart. Had no heart, no toughness, no intangibles. Just a big, talented guy, but nothing inside. Simmons might have the right makeup, but boy, is he a flawed basketball player. The freaking Sixers, the process. They go, they made the playoffs in that strike-shortened year. 2011, 2012. Starting in 2012, 2013, they won 34 games, 19 games, 18 games, 10 games. They went 10-72 in 2015, 2016. 10-72, Maz. And so they're drafting in the top three, top five, year after year after year. They come home with Jahlil Okafor. That was a nice pick. Joel Embiid, complete dog. They come up with Ben Simmons, can't shoot. First overall pick who can't shoot. Never mind a three-pointer. Can't shoot a free throw. Can't shoot. We all know what happens in 2017. Markelle Fultz. And now here we are, whatever, 5 years later. 5 years later, after that 10-win season, and they've won two playoff rounds. Never advanced past the second round, and it's over. What a fraud that team was. What a fraud the process was. And what a cautionary tale it is against tanking. You know, you can tank and do everything right, and you can even, you know, not even blow the draft, but just get into a draft where there's no good players. I mean, I'll rip them for Okafor, but there was only one player, two players in that draft. Karl Anthony Towns went one. Okay, you take him. And then Porzingis went four. So they picked Okafor over Porzingis. Blew it. But it's not like I can look up and down that, you know, the top 20 there and say player, 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 player. It just wasn't a good draft. So what did that tanking get you? And then in 2016, they're drafting first overall. Let me ask you this. If you're drafting first overall, if you could redraft 2016, let me give you the players. Ben Simmons, Jalen, I'm not picking all because Brandon Ingram went two. Jalen Brown went three. Bender, remember the guy that had the good workout against the chair?
Oh, yeah, Dragon Bender, yeah.
Yeah, he worked out against the chair in the banquet room. Simmons, Jaylen Brown, Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray. I guess I'll stop there. Okay, we don't need to go outside the top 10. If you could redraft 2016, who are you drafting first overall?
Jaylen Brown.
Brown or Murray?
Yeah, one of those two, but I'll tell you, I like Brown's complete game better than Murray's. Yeah.
Siakam?
So
he went 27. I know it's outside the top 10, but he would be my number one overall pick looking back if we're redrafting.
Okay, but I don't blame them for that because the whole league passed on him. You know what I mean? That's what, I'm trying to keep it fair. Like,
I'm not.
You know, okay, I mean, so then, well, then the Celtics blew it how many times? How many picks did they have in that first round? They blew it time after that. That's a year you took Gervashine Ubashelli, 16. So Danny Ainge sucks too, right?
Yeah.
That's correct, yes. And Ante Zizic.
Zizic. So 2016, you took Ubaselli 16th and Zizic 23 when Pascal Siakam is sitting there. So fire Danny Ainge too, right?
Thank you.
That's right, yes.
No, it's just, no, that's not fair. You I'll grade him against the players, you know, listed up high. I'll stay in the top 10. So, I don't know, maybe you take Simmons first. I don't know. I guess that's debatable. I don't take a guy that can't shoot first overall. I don't take a guy who can't shoot first. Sorry, I don't. Just because he handles the ball well? The big guy that handles the ball well, but he can't, when as soon as he shoots it at the basket, forget about it? That's not my first overall pick. So what does that tanking do? In the meantime, you develop this massive losing culture that you obviously can't shake, because no matter how much talent you might have or think you might have, you haven't shaken the losing culture. And so it's a fraud. The process is a fraud, and it's a cautionary tale, Maz, against tanking.
Oh, so look, it's hard to debate that now. And again, the one thing I think you give the Celtics credit for when you talk about how they did it versus how Philly did it is it feels like Ainge generally took guys who compete. Right. And I'm not telling you that they're all A pluses.
No, it's a good point.
But even Smart competes. Jaylen Brown competes. Tatum competes. And I've seen little glimpses of Tatum throughout this thing where they show him in these cutaways and he's cheering guys on the bench. And it looks like on the court, there's more leadership there than I thought there was. But so now let me tell you, Philly. Do you know what Philly's road record was this year? 12-26.
Losers.
They had the best home record in the league. They were number one in the league in home record, 31-4, 12-26 on the road, which is 23rd. How do you explain that?
Losers.
How do you explain that other than you have no sack?
They're losers.
You have no leadership, no balls, no heart, no sack. So as soon as it starts to get a little bit tough, you know what you do? You quit. You quit. That team needs a leadership change. I don't know. And I'm not talking about the coach. I'm talking about the roster. A leadership change.
Well, that's what I thought Al Horford was, but there's the second great myth. The second great myth.
I was trying to tee up right there.
Some sort of leadership winning quotient, this Al quotient. What a fraud. Wait a minute, Maz. We just don't understand Al Horford, right? We just don't understand how you set a screen at the top of the key. Did he forget how to set screens? Was he setting screens out there in Philly, or did he stop setting screens? Did they not ask him to set screens?
Yeah, he was good at it. He had felt it was the coaching.
To listen to the people here, like the guy set a screen like no one has ever set a screen. Like no one knew how to set a screen before or since Al Horford.
To listen to the people here,
did he not set screens in Philly?
He didn't. He's been hurt in Philly.
Oh, Jesus.
Tice has a good screen.
Had bad coaching.
Fraud. The whole team's a fraud. The whole thing. It's a cautionary tale against tanking. A losing culture seeps into your water, seeps into your building, seeps into your DNA. You can draft high every year, and if you don't pick the right guy, you're not going to shake that loser mentality, because Philly still has it, and it's over. That Philly thing, over. And it never even was even there. What a joke. And Al Horford, make me laugh. Where's all the Al people today?
I'm here.
How valuable he is. Seriously, Stu?
Yeah, I'm here. He was injured. He had a bad coach. Kyrie poisoned him. That was the end of Al Horford.
Okay. Your thoughts, mixing our Celtics callers with everything else today on a re-entry Monday. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Welker and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Finney Smith trying to get it to Luka. They do, but way outside. Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does. He hits. He hits. And the Mavericks have won the game. Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn. And the series is tied at 2 games apiece.
So I play that because, if I'm being totally honest, I didn't watch a ton of the Celtics the last couple nights. I have a problem, Maz, with these early round NBA playoff series that aren't competitive.
With good reason.
Yeah, you and me both.
It's like I have a hard time watching where I know who's going to win and the other team's not really competing. It's like I just have a hard time with that in any sport.
Mike, this Celtics series was a joke. Don't even, like, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. It was a joke.
I tried, but I can't do it. But I watched this thing. You watched this Clippers game yesterday afternoon?
I did not, but I saw the end of it, obviously.
Oh, it was great. Oh, tremendous. Back and forth. Doncic, I mean, tremendous stuff. Like that really competitive, great game. Excellent game. Capped off with Doncic and that three at the buzzer of overtime. Ballsy game. Ballsy game. And, that is sort of, that series is at 2-2, right? Now, if it were home road, are you telling me that the Clippers are winning 2 at home and the Mavericks are winning 2 at home? I don't know. I don't know. I think the bubble's evened that series, and the bubble gives the Magic a chance here against the Bucks. And the, you know, the bubble, I think, turns this into a, as much as I hate Philadelphia, if you're telling me this is all things being equal and game three is Celtics at Philly, that usually goes to the home team, doesn't it? I mean, you're going to get the refs, you're going to get the calls. Like, we know how that goes. So I think the bubble leads to some sweeps where you wouldn't have them. And so maybe it's put some series out of whack. Like, I don't think Miami's sweeping did Miami win last night? Is it 3-0 or 3-1?
Miami has a 3-0 lead.
3-0 lead.
They're playing tonight.
Okay, so Miami's on the verge of a sweep. I don't think they're sweeping Indy if they have to go to Indy. You might not be sweeping Philly if you have to go. But then those are five-game series. You know, you're still – I don't think it's changing the outcome, but it's changing the number of games. You know what? I think it's done that in hockey too, Maz. Not a single first-round series went to seven games, right?
Correct.
I think only one went to six,
yeah.
If I'm right.
No, there were a bunch of 4-1s. They were – yeah, I think the give-in factor was higher.
That's definitely the bubble factor. It's the quit factor. Once you get within 60 minutes or 48 minutes of saying, I'm going to go home to my wife and kids, there's that quit factor. I mean, how does it not creep in? It would creep in if I were doing it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's something, too, the NHL not having a single seven-game series yet, and the NBA having some of these series sort of nip and tuck, where I just don't think they would have been, you know, in a normal year. Be that as it may, Doncic, that was a guy the Celtics liked, huh, Jimmy?
Oh, he didn't hear you. Yes, he said Doncic is the guy the Celtics liked.
Oh, the Celtics love him. They were trying to get up to the second pick in the draft. They wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for him.
Yep, so, yet another guy the Celtics loved, right? Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic. They love all these guys that become superstars that they never get, right?
They love the franchise players. I admire that.
Well,
that's respectful.
Right, after the fact.
Yes.
I mean, when Giannis is sitting right there, they'll take Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
Okay, so like the times we know they had a chance to draft the guy when Pascal Siakam is sitting there, Stu, as you just pointed out to us. So intelligently, they take Andre Zizic and Gibran Ubaselli when they had Pascal Siakam,
who they released last summer.
Okay, so but the point is, but yet when they have no chance to draft the guy, suddenly we hear they would have taken Durant or they would have taken Doncic.
So I told you before the draft that they were trying to move up to get Luka Doncic, and they couldn't because they wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown.
Okay, so you're right. What was the deal that was on the table?
I think it was Jaylen Brown, the Memphis pick, the Kings pick for Luka Doncic.
And who was to Dallas?
So it was whoever had the number two pick that year is what they were trying to get to. I think Doncic went 5.
Let me ask you, panel, Jaylen Brown or Luka Doncic?
Is that even a question?
Luka.
Doncic.
Doncic.
Holy crap, this guy's the balls.
Does he defend?
No, Brown's a better defender.
He rebound? Does he run the floor?
Oh, this guy rebounds, yeah. Yeah, he rebounds. He does everything on the offensive end. In fact, I would tell you defensively he rebounds. But he's not a great one-on-one defender. But offensively, he's the whole deal. He's the whole deal. He distributes. He's a tremendous passer. The shooting numbers with him are deceiving because you'd say, like, he's 32% from three-point land. He's not a great three-point shooter. But I bet you if he gets more selective, that number will go up.
He hit some step backs yesterday, man.
Big time.
To die for, including the game winner. So, Stu, are you saying the deal is on the table for the Celtics and Danny balked?
I think, yes. I think that's accurate.
So Danny chose Jaylen Brown over Luka Doncic.
I think that's accurate. I believe that to be accurate.
So that's another one he blew.
Yep.
Okay. just, you know, setting the record straight on that. Dan in Ohio, your thoughts, Celtics?
Fire him.
Danny!
Obviously a joke.
Okay, yeah. Pay attention. Nope, you're too late. Snooze, you lose. Call us back. You know the number. Yep, bye-bye. Ian in New Bedford. He's next on the Celts. Hi, Ian.
Hey, guys. Great show. Couple things real quick. I think I was really impressed with the Celtics not getting into a shootout any of these games. I think a lot of these bubble games have been really high scoring, and the fact that the Celtics were kind of able to limit the Sixers each game was impressive. And also, the fact that Brad Stevens had the balls to bench Daniel Theis after 30 seconds yesterday, after turning the ball over and picking up a bad foul. I think the whole team, even the coaching staff, is invested. Let's get it.
Okay, what do you think, Mess?
So I didn't tell you that the Celtics did have a shootout game, that they got 130, but Philly sucks. So Philly couldn't keep up. And I'm not giving anybody too much credit for the Celtics in this series. Philly blew. They were awful. And so, you know, again, now we're going to give Stevens credit. If you're going to give him credit when he benches Jason Tatum or something, fine. Or Kemba Walker, he goes after a veteran and benches his ass. Daniel Theis is sort of shooting fish in a barrel. You're talking a role player at the end of the day. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a dick about this. I'm not giving the Celtics a lot of credit for this series. That might as well have been preseason basketball from the Celtics standpoint.
Sixers went on an 11-0 run with Tice out of the game. It actually hurt them. I don't think it helped them.
Oh, God. It's like, you know, we're going to give them credit now for beating that complete crap show of a team. That team is a dumpster fire.
John in Hartford, your thoughts.
I can't believe I'm actually going to agree with Maz here. But the Sixers, a couple of points. The Sixers are an awful team, so I don't take much from this series. Secondly, the Celtics didn't move the ball well all series, in my estimation. Too many forced shots, especially by Tatum. He was forcing the ball way too much, and I don't think he passed. Didn't get his teammates involved. And thirdly, I thought Jaylen Brown checked out from time to time. I'm not sure if he's believing the headlines, but I feel like he's a little bit better. He thinks he's a little bit better than he actually is, so... That's what okay. I saw. Kemba played John, great, though. Love Kemba.
Me too, baby. And I'll take that critical commentary. Something you won't normally see, hear, or read on NBC Sports Boston. So we're just trying to balance it out there a little bit for our simulcast audience. Did you pick up any of that stuff, Maz?
Well, so look, I think he's right, generally speaking, about the ball movement. There was a lot of one-on-one. I felt this way after game one with the Celtics, and it didn't. Now, the good news is that they were able to win that way because I think they were able to break Philly down, and Philly just didn't have enough talent to beat them or to deal with them one-on-one. So if Tatum got it, wanted to go to the basket, or if Kemba wanted to go to the basket or break someone's ankles and pull up for a jumper, they could do whatever they wanted because Philly just didn't have the horses. But I think as they get deeper into the playoffs here, it's going to become when they go against a better team with better coaching and better commitment, if it happens, that they're going to have to move the ball better than they did. I didn't love the way they ran their offense in this series either.
Okay, it's a reentry Monday. Everything's on the board, so let's give Cam and Taunton and Maz a golf minute. No more than a minute, boys. Go.
Maz, what is your problem? You've been saying this for years. What is your problem with this course? Like is it? Do you want a +2 tournament in the playoffs? You've been saying this for years that TPC Boston is too easy.
It is.
DJ was just... Yeah, DJ was out of his boobs, man. The rest of the field was playing what most tournaments are nowadays. If you'd watch the tour on a regular basis, most tournaments are in the high teens, low 20s under par. The whole tour is too easy because the equipment's gotten ridiculous. They're all hitting it 350 yards off the tee. What do you want?
Okay, so how many guys in this tournament went minus 10 or better?
Tell us.
38! 38 went minus 10 or better. 38 freaking guys. 38! That's a joke. That's a freaking joke. I'm sorry. No, I don't want +2. I don't like the U.S. Open. I hate the PGA Championship. I think they both suck. So, but when you have everybody shooting 10 under par, oh, the course is a little too easy. Now, again, I recognize at the end of the day what it is. It's all about how you do against the field. So if everyone shoots 10 under and you shoot 30 under, you win. Great. But I want to see a guy actually have to work for birdies. That was a joke. That's a joke. That course for these guys is a joke. So they got to do something to make it tougher. Like, again, at one point I looked up and there were like 10 guys, 15 under par. And I'm like, this is embarrassing to have that many guys that under par. They all averaged. Dustin Johnson averaged what? Over four rounds, that's a 63, 64 for the tournament? That's a joke. That's way too easy. Way too easy.
Reentry Monday, everything's on the board with your calls at 617-779-0985. Who brings us Reentry Monday, Maz?
Reentry Monday, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. So if you're looking to refinance a home mortgage or maybe a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your phones here on a re-entry Monday. We have some Patriots stuff to get to as well. That's coming up. But first, you, Dan in Ohio, on the process. Your thoughts, Dan.
A little rant on the process is You were supposed to draft well, trade young talent, sign some free agents. They drafted like crap. Embiid is just soft. I mean, Simmons can't. And imagine if they would have put Tatum with that team right now, what that would look like. So just complete frauds. I'm glad it's getting blown up. I never want to hear that ever said again. And I wouldn't mind the playoffs being in the bubble next year, too. I think this is great.
There is something to be said. You know, I don't know. I think there's some pluses to it. There's also some minuses. I don't want it to be this way every year. The thing is, though, I'm glad when teams that tanked aren't rewarded, because I know sometimes it's a smart thing to do, Maz, and sometimes you just have to do it. And if there's a generational talent and you're down there anyway, you might as well go for it. Like, I get it. I'm not telling you should never do it, but I hate to see teams rewarded for it. I hate to see teams that purposely lose and tank seasons be rewarded for it in any sport. And so I'm glad this Philly thing has blown up in their face.
Well,
I'm
look, I get what you mean in terms of, I mean, it's consumer fraud at the end of the day. It's really what it is. You know, you still have season ticket holders. You're still trying to amass, you know, in theory, you're giving someone a product. So what you're telling them is, well, we're going to give you a crap product for 5 years, but in year six, you'll get a good deal.
It's also like the easy way out, isn't it?
Totally.
Like any imbecile can say, we're going to suck for 5 years and just pick at the top of the draft. Like, what does that take?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, look, again, I think in the NBA, sometimes you don't have much of a choice. So now, but I philosophically, generally, I don't love the idea either. Now, from Philly's standpoint, I also look at their roster and say, you know, when they had Jimmy Butler, I liked them a lot better. And I think that Butler, I sort of did a little thinking about this over the weekend, because I really started to abhor that team. And I thought, why do I hate them more now? Because Embiid and Simmons have always been there, and it's because Butler's not there. So I'm not telling you, I don't love Butler, but he competes. He plays defense. He can. He's more of a scorer.
Why don't you like Jimmy Butler? What's not to like?
No, it's not that I don't dislike him. I don't love him. I mean, I don't think he's a great shooter. And I'm annoyingly particular when it comes to NBA players. If you can't do it all, I don't want you. But on that team, he gave them some edge. He gave them some defense. He gave them some scoring. And I think he gave them some leadership and someone who actually would challenge Embiid and Simmons to play every night, because I don't think those guys want to do it.
Those are things that Al Horford does not give you. It is very apparent how different that team was. Jimmy Butler out, Horford in.
Thank you. Another thing that was put the
floor. Al has injuries in Philadelphia. Jimmy Butler was healthy.
But say this, because look, Butler's caused a lot of fires everywhere he's
been.
What's
up with you and Horford, Jimmy, all of a sudden? What's up?
I've been consistent with my love for Al Horford for a long time, and just because he changes uniforms doesn't mean that I'm going to turn my back on a player.
Well, how about you just admit you were wrong?
I was not wrong. He was important to the Celtics culture. The things are different in Philadelphia than they were in Boston.
Ah, so important to their culture that it was a complete dumpster fire last year.
It was Kyrie Irving's fault.
Yeah, okay.
See, but that's the hole in Horford, is that he's not setting the tone for your team. He's not fixing your team if it starts to get off the rails. How about that? If everybody's on board and you just need a veteran guy to show up for work every day and do the things the right way, Horford's fine.
So I liked him, too. I liked Horford as well.
He's a pro.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, and sometimes in short supply in that league. And so I think you get one of those guys, you get a real adult in the room. I'll take it. I like it. I liked Al as a fan. The setting the screen thing to me is just asinine. But
beautiful
his
screens,
his presence, you know, like again, I'll take the adult in the room most every time. But if it has no impact, if the adult in the room can't get the children to stop acting like children, then what's the point of the adult in the room?
Right.
It's sort of pointless. So it's not his fault, but it's just like the impact of Al Horford has proven to be fraudulent, I think. I don't know.
Well, Mike, if you're in the room and you've got Al Horford or Kyrie Irving, who are you listening to?
Well, unfortunately for that league, they apparently listen to Kyrie Irving.
Well, so that's an issue.
I see, but I would say the bigger thing is, who's Kyrie Irving listening to?
Himself.
Okay, so this is what I mean. Horford's not the guy to dope slap Kyrie, though.
Who's Kyrie listening to? The ancient Zulu god of Zippy, you know, like, who knows what the voices in that guy said? Who is he listening to?
The Illuminati, Mike.
Exactly.
He's more illuminated than you. You just need to come around and understand that.
I'm starting to look at LeBron differently now that he had to deal with Kyrie instead of the other way around.
Right? Steve in Boston. Go, Steve.
This is taking the call. I mean, you guys are absolutely right on the Sixers. I mean, this team is completely mentally weak. Their best player is completely lazy, and he's still out of shape after being in the league now for like 5 years. And I mean, let's be honest, Al, when it comes to leadership, he's one of those guys who leads by example. I don't really seem like – he doesn't seem like one of those guys who's going to speak up and get in the way when somebody's acting up. And I think he quickly realized when he came on to this Philly team, oh, this is probably why Jimmy Butler left, because these guys don't work hard and they're a bunch of bums. But my main point here about that I wanted to talk about was, I think when you look at Boston and Toronto, you can't take anything from what they've done in the playoffs so far, because if we thought Philly was bad, I watched some of that Toronto and Nets series. The Nets didn't even show up. They were playing phantom defense, and it was completely embarrassing.
I don't give the Raptors any credit for what they did either. Zero sum. It was a nice little exhibition week for both those teams, and now some real games start. Dakota and Braintree on his wonderful landline. Go ahead, Dakota.
Here we go.
On his presidential landline. Go.
Yes, that's correct. Before I get to the Sixers, Tony, and the rest of America that's listening, Tony, whenever you say that TPC, okay, is easy, you should quantify that by saying that you shot a 95 from, like, the senior tees last year there, okay?
Dakota, I could shoot a 95 anywhere. I'm not a PGA player, you donkey. This is totally related to the PGA guys.
First of all, I will agree with one thing. Those pin placements yesterday were a joke. I'm like, I'm looking at this going, I would put the pin here. I would put the pin here.
So we agree.
I agree that the pin placements, okay, were terrible. And I just think they wanted the scoring. And so that was it. Anyways, October 16th, last year, okay, final hour, we had a conversation about the Sixers, Felger, okay? You and I nailed it to a T.
Oh, yeah, I remember that conversation.
Yeah. You know, Tony, that was the same conversation. That was the same conversation, okay, and you have the tape. It's on podcast because you can air it, right? That I mentioned Devin Ross, okay, was going to be a great wide receiver on the Patriots. So it's there. So when Devin Ross this year ends up being one of our leading receivers, okay, I want you to refer back, and Tony, you made fun of me that I picked on Devin Ross, okay, that he was going to be somebody out of Colorado, okay?
Yeah, no, again, I remember the conversation vividly, Dakota.
This is another one of these guys that think we remember. Like, what we said last – what was last segment on? Do you remember?
Not a clue.
I have absolutely no idea.
No what sniff was, whatsoever. No,
I wanted to fire saying. Danny Ainge for blowing the Luka Doncic.
Right, exactly. Danny Ainge passed on Pascal Siakam twice for Ubaselli and Zizic. So fire him. Right, that was last segment. But unless you had reminded me, I would – how is October 18th of 2019? Is he serious about that crap?
I have no clue. So I would just say to Dakota, since he lectured me on the TPC and the pin placements, Dakota, if I ran over you, I wouldn't remember what you looked like. And I don't mean that in a nasty way.
I think he's a short little fellow with glasses and black hair is what I would say.
No, because I do. I like Dakota, and he knows that. But I wouldn't. You're asking me to remember something from last October? Dude, if I ran over you with my car, I would forget what you looked like 5 minutes later.
Coming up next, we're going to get to the Patriots and what happened this weekend. And apparently something that I was really looking forward to is already over. So let's get to that and some other Patriots thoughts coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's Mike Reese with us from Foxborough. And, you know, Mike, Jarrett Stidham is hurt. What does that injury do to the Patriots quarterback competition?
Well, Greeny, it's changed everything. In football terms, it's created a big hole, and Cam Newton is taking the ball, and he's charging through that hole, literally and figuratively. And here's why it's so significant. Last week, the Patriots were splitting the quarterback reps three ways. Now it's down to two. And on Sunday, I was right there at practice. It really seemed to turn decisively in Cam Newton's direction. And in a condensed preseason, it almost makes you wonder, will the Patriots turn back now?
And that's been the consensus on the reporting from the weekend. Everyone is saying the same thing. And this is off of yesterday's practices, never mind today, where I think it was more of the same. But Bedard wrote yesterday, this looks like Cam Newton's team now. Phil Perry on NBC Sports Boston said the starting quarterback job is becoming a foregone conclusion. The Globe's headline was best day yet for Cam Newton. The Athletic writes, after Cam Newton created separation from the quarterback competition on Thursday, he continued to solidify his place in the race for the top job on Sunday. Herald's headline said Cam Newton pulling away with starting quarterback job, and this feels now like a little storyline that I was going to enjoy is now just about over. How do you feel about that, Maz?
Well, I'm not shocked. I mean, I thought it was going this way and it wasn't going to last forever. But, you know, it being over this early is a TKO. Stidham unable to continue. And he just never came out for the third round or the second round, or call it whatever the hell you want.
What a fail.
But I do think it's over. Yes, I think it's Cam Newton's team.
What a fail. And even if it was always meant to be Cam Newton's job and they were always going to steer it towards Newton and the thing was a show, I don't think they expected Jared Stidham to tap out of the show on the fourth day.
Right.
Which is what he did, which makes this a fail. So even if it was going to be Cam Newton from the start, they expected and wanted Jared Stidham to respond, and to respond competitively and to respond well. Instead, the kid had to go to the hospital with a sore hip and now hasn't, you know, practiced the last 2 days for all intents and purposes. That remains, to me, a massive fail.
No mas, right? No mas. That's what it is. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm done. No mas. He had to completely, you know, it's a TKO. So it's Stidham's team by default. What are they going to do? Give it to Brian Hoyer? All due respect, Mike. Like, you know, no, and I know you believe they could win with
like
Hoyer.
Him.
Yeah, and again, I've always liked Hoyer as a backup, but, you know, as a starter, no shot. I mean, it's over. They got to start getting ready here soon. It's over. It's Cam Newton's team.
McTakey, what's your take?
I'll tell you what, I'm just fascinated the Patriots are talking so much about Jared Stidham's injury, which tells you everything you need to know about Jared Stidham, because when do they ever talk about injury, especially during training camp? They're using this as an excuse for the fact that this kid couldn't hang on, that this kid couldn't compete for the job, that this kid is the third quarterback on the roster after they blew smoke up our butts all offseason long about Jared Stidham. Stid the kid ready to take over for Tom Brady. It turns out that they were wrong about it. They were wrong, and I find it awfully convenient that they're talking about this injury. When do you ever hear the Patriots say, well, somebody had to go to the hospital? What? The New England Patriots, Fort Foxborough, talking about injuries? The only time they do it is when it's convenient for them. And they're talking about this because it's convenient for them, because Jared Stidham showed up and he sucked and blew in training camp. I mean, it was obvious that he was the third quarterback. I mean, like days where he was 2 of 6 with 2 picks. The kid didn't belong out there. After they told us all offseason that he was ready, he wasn't ready. And now they're talking about this and it's awfully convenient.
Yeah, so I do wonder, you know, we said this last week, was the injury a cover or some way to protect him and cover for him? And if it was, I think it failed too, because I think not being able to post is just as bad, Maz.
Right.
Not being ready, again, for what I'm going to assume is a muscle injury, and unless someone can tell me that he got tackled, which was no contact. He wears the red jersey. They're not supposed to be touched. So unless he got banged, it's a bone injury or something, a contact injury, then you're telling me it's a muscle injury, which tells me basically the same thing. He wasn't ready to go. So their effort to cover for him, for me, it doesn't work. I think it looks just as bad, if not worse.
I think it's worse. I do. I think it's worse. I mean, because to me, it's one of these things that the guy couldn't even fight. He couldn't even fight. He wasn't, you know, again, he wasn't prepared to fight. He wasn't ready to compete for the job. So, you know, now look, again, do I think we were going to end up here? Probably. But put it this way. Because, again, the two things are not mutually exclusive, Mike. On the one hand, you could look at it and say, well, Cam Newton can still be the quarterback for the now, but the long-term plan is Stidham. Could absolutely be that. Now, having gone the way it went, don't you look at it and say, I'm not convinced Stidham can do it.
Absolutely.
Of course, it's a terrible sign. And absolutely, I think that's on the table. They've already failed. Okay, Phil Perry, here's what he tweets today. The simulcast always throws up these tweets. I just feel the need to read them because I haven't seen them myself. Another practice, another day for Cam to submit an accuracy percentage greater than 70%. It's picking up the offense, adding his... Now I can't read this.
Adding his own twist.
His own twist. Developing chemistry with Julian Edelman and hitting the vast majority of his throws, he's running away with it.
Okay, so there we go. I was enjoying the storyline for nothing else other than the talk show or the chaos or You know, Mike Giardi tweets what? Someone can read better than me. Please,
yep.
Go.
Cam Newton has to take a slowly placed lap after fumbling during team. Also through an ill-advised post route that was picked by undrafted free agent Miles Bryant earlier in the practice. Still, Cam remains what I would say is the clear number one. That was Mike Giardi.
Okay. Give me one more.
Okay, Mike Giardi again. A slight uptick in work for Jarrett Stidham. Did individual drills as he had been. Didn't participate in 7-on-7. Then got a few reps during first team period, but was easily outdistanced rep-wise by Cam and Hoyer. Tail end of practice, got a handful more reps.
Okay. He's fallen off, and I don't think it's going to come back. And I was going to enjoy the storyline for the chaos of it. You know, the chaos of it. I felt it would have been totally Patriots to everyone get all hyped about a name, you know. Big Cam Newton, big name, flashy name, a lot of hype. And then they release him and go with some, you know, some other guy, some fourth round pick or some journeyman. Like that, I felt would have been so them. It would have made so many of you so upset. I would have enjoyed that. Just the pure chaos of it, I was rooting for. So be it. It's over after a week. It pisses me off that Stidham wouldn't even carry that on for another week. I mean, just for no other reason other than just to have that storyline going with us and have that possibility. And now that's gone. It's like, all right, now it's Cam Newton's team, which I'm fine with. You know, may the best man win. I was never into them picking someone who's worse just to sort of prove a point or create some chaos. I just thought there was a chance that one of those other guys would look to be a better option and possibly could be a better option.
Yeah, look, what you wanted was a competition. Right? What you wanted was a competition, and it never even really developed.
Yeah, and Mike, to your point real quick, you said, you know, they're getting the injury news out there to, you know, protect the kid, right? I don't think they're trying to protect the kid at all. They're protecting themselves because they set this up for there to be a competition. They set this up for him to say, you know, however you want to say it, and he couldn't post, to your point. A week in, he's done. He's the third quarterback on the roster. It's over.
McTakey, that's a good point. They're covering for themselves.
Of course they're covering for them. You think they care about covering for the kid? No way. They're covering for themselves because they presented him as a viable alternative to Tom Brady. Nuh-uh. Not true.
I like that. Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I think it's true, though. I think there's something to it. They should have egg on their face for saying this guy's ready to compete, or we felt he was the guy. He couldn't even get to the second week of camp. Oh, feh. What a fail. We're talking about a popping of the balloon or just an exposure of fraud. Oh, the whole Jared Stidham story. What a fraud that whole thing was. Ah, it pisses me out because I was enjoying it too. I liked it. I wanted to believe. I believe everything. But I couldn't believe that one. I don't believe the team's bull crap. Maybe that's the moral of that story. I want to pick this up on the other side. So how does Cam look? Again, the reports continue to be kind of mixed. Plus, there's some other things that aren't looking so great down there. N'Keal Harry, how's that looking? Where's your top? Who's the best player on the team, Miz?
Ooh.
Stephon Gilmore's your best player on the team.
Oh, yeah, Stephon Gilmore. I was going to say Devin McCourty, but it is Gilmore, yes.
Stephon Gilmore's the best player on the team. Where's he been?
Don't know.
Where's he been? Okay. And finally, someone raised the prospect that I started to think about last week. Is there a contract situation going on in Foxborough that we don't know about? I want to ask that question. Meanwhile, how's the alt-right kicker doing?
This story I like.
Seems like a great guy to select if you want to storm the state house gates. You know, storm the state house and stake out the state house with an assault rifle. I think they got the right guy. To actually kick field goals in the NFL, I'm not so sure. Because you just re-signed a top-of-the-pile of garbage veteran who was just dangling out there because your alt-right kicker couldn't – talk about not making it to the second week of camp. That's another story that I want to get to. All of it coming
away. 3% chance of making the roster, Mike.
I like it. That's his field goal percentage. The three percenters. Here comes McCarthy's update. 90 seconds, no spots, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.